the Lord. In your Bible tonight, Acts chapter 28, verse 31, the very last verse in the book of Acts. I'm thankful that it shows a continuation. It shows ongoing. It's not over. It's not ended. Let's read together Acts 28 and 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Praise God. And it's almost amusing that Paul was in his own house, and I don't know if the Roman government was paying for it or what was happening, but people were coming and going to hear that old apostle. Amen. And nobody stopped and nobody forbid, nobody put a halt to it. He continued preaching and teaching. Thank God that there are leaders for the Lord. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Leadership is influence. That's the shortest definition of leadership. It's influence. That influence can be good, it can be bad. And obviously, if we're talking about leaders for the Lord, we're talking about what's positive, what's good, what's going to be helpful, what's going to be a blessing. The workplace has changed its definition, or maybe its location. We want to establish at the outset here that work, as far as being a leader, happens everywhere. At home, at church, in the workplace, your influence needs to be felt. Now, some have a very narrow view of workplace. They feel like it's got to be a job site, your place of employment, a shop, a store. If you're not there, you're not working. But that has changed quite a bit, hasn't it? With the pandemic, with the lockdowns, the working out of home has become more acceptable, more of a standard. And so the workplace concepts have changed a bit. But for our purposes here tonight, when we're talking about leadership, we're talking about influence. Workplace is everywhere. You're never going to step out of the spiritual work that God has placed upon you and his calling you to be a saint. Amen. Anywhere, anytime, and that's what we've got to understand. And so in the community, in the church, in your home, at your place of employment, your work for the Lord is ongoing. In Colossians 3 and 23 lets us know what our attitude should be, what our perspective should be concerning this idea of work. Whatsoever you do, the apostle wrote, do it heartily. What does heartily mean? It means with enthusiasm. It means with effort, with excitement. Even though some of the jobs may not be what you would jump up and down about and smile about, but it needs to get done. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. So that influence has got to be exerted in your workplace, which is everywhere. Now, as we focus on influence, let's remember two areas of influence that are focused on us. First of all, before that influence, or at the same time, that the influence that you exert is going out. First is God's influence on us. You read the first chapter of Genesis, and you know that his creation he called good. You're his creation. Don't call God's creation stupid, dumb, ugly, you idiot. You know, we talk to ourselves like that sometimes. Do you think the Lord's pleased that you call his creation? Those kind of names. I know that's, we're human, that's what most people do. But we've got to understand the influence that you exert on yourself has got to be with a positive outlook, a positive outcome. Amen. Because God, with his influence, wants you to excel. He wants you to succeed. Amen. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You abide in me. And then there's going to be fruit, more fruit, much fruit, because he purges it. He takes care of it. Amen. And that's his influence on us, the cutting, the pruning. As a vine dresser, we may not understand what all is going on, what all is happening. I can remember a rose bush between the church in Huna and the little house that was next door. And the neighbor cut that rose bush back so much, I thought, oh, man, that's it. It's over. There's not going to be any roses next year. But lo and behold, far more than any year prior, because she knew what she was doing and being able to prune that. The Lord knows what he's doing in influencing you. Amen. He gives the living water. We need that living water and the flow of that living water for spiritual refreshing so that we can live in the Spirit, like the Bible says, so that we can walk in the Spirit and not according to the flesh. And know that the power of the Lord is there. So God's influence, our influence, has got to be bringing about the transformation. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 gives a simple command to examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Take a look. Check it out. Prove your own selves. And that's not so you can call yourself stupid and idiot and that sort of thing. But it's to see where you are in your advancement, your growth in the things of God, and how important it is to be able to walk in that realm and know the blessings of the Lord. Now, obviously, there's got to be a balance. And the scripture also says, don't think too highly of yourselves, and you ought to. So it's a matter of recognizing the purpose of his influence and have that in operation. Then the combination of those two influences, God's and yours, upon yourself, the combination of those two determines the effectiveness of your influence on others. And that's what God wants you to do. There's a gap between who we really are and who we represent ourselves to be. Everybody has that gap. You know, that's called putting your best foot forward and all of those kinds of things. That gap has got to narrow. In other words, there's got to be a reality. There's got to be a living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, to the elimination of the influences that are around us. And oh my, those influences are getting stronger, they're getting louder, they're becoming more prevalent. But how important to be consistent in all areas of life. Righteousness does not happen overnight. It's like your reputation doesn't happen overnight. It's something you earn, something you grow in, something you attain day by day. The culture today considers pride and independence and debate or winning arguments, I guess would be more accurate, materialism. Those are the things that are prized. Those are the things that are valued in the culture today. And so Christ-like humility, unity, integrity, those seem to be way down the scale as far as things to be valued. But we know those are the elements of peace. Those are what produces within us the peace of God that passeth understanding. And then it affects our marriages. It affects our home. It affects our children. Praise God. And those are the things that are eternal. This other is not. and they're temporal. But we look at the eternal, and we know how important that is. So values, how important those are. When I first started getting involved in teaching, there was something that was talked about called values clarification. Maybe it wasn't just in teaching. That's the only place I heard it. Values clarification. And what it was a technique or a process to try to change behavior, to try to make troublesome kids or any kids behave better with better values. And so that was a focus, and there was a whole process, a whole instrument that was applied in the special education, it was called back then, that they wanted to try to change behaviors for the better. And speaking of values, it was popular to say, oh, I don't want to force my values on, you know, whoever. Yeah. And parents got caught up in that. And, you know, how crazy. Let them choose bedtime, talking about kids, choose whether or not to brush the teeth, all of those kinds of things. Not going to force values. Godly values are what we need to focus on. Timothy, look at 1 Timothy 4 and 12. Timothy was told to be an example of believers. And these aspects of being an example are not limited to youth. Paul was just encouraging Timothy, because you're young, be sure that you manifest these qualities. But what he was saying was these qualities are Christ-like. They're values that you have to grow into, and that everybody should manifest what it's like to be a believer in word, in conversation. That's not the same thing. Word being the word of God, conversation being your conduct, your speech, and so on. Charity or love, spirit, faith, purity, show by the changes in your life, by the values that you have, that you are living for God. And to the young, grow into those things. The old, develop them even more and hold on to them. Don't let them slip, but keep on going in those aspects. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, again, is contrary to what we see in the world. And I'm thankful that we have demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God that moves, and the blessing that we have as we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and have those displays sometimes that are so exciting. But we know the Bible says the Spirit helps our infirmities. And unfortunately, we deal with those probably more than we experience the excitement and the thrill of a strong Pentecostal service, as we might call it. And so that help is so important. And the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance, those are totally contrary to what we see the world saying is important today. And when we face the opposite of those qualities, is when we really need to manifest a Christ-like attitude and hold to the values that we know to be powerful and right. Because when we want the love of the Spirit, we know there's going to be hate. The joy of the Spirit, we know there's sorrow. Peace, there's turmoil. Long-suffering, there's impatience. Gentleness, there's harshness. Goodness, there's evil. And oh my, it just seems like it's getting loosed more and more. Faith, there's unbelief. Meekness, there's pride. Temperance, there's excessiveness. Just going way beyond what is necessary or what is allowed. And so we're recognizing, okay, these values are important, and I've got to hold on to them and recognize those are eternal values. Someone made the comment that values are like a riverbank. If they're eroded, those riverbanks are eroded, that can change the flow of the living water or impede the flow of the living water. And we want to make sure that living water is flowing within us. Amen. Brother Mike taught a great lesson about being lukewarm. Being lukewarm spiritually not only harms your relationship to God, but it has an influence. We're talking about influence. It has an influence on those around you. There's no way of stopping it. There's no way that you can just be in isolation. Being lukewarm is influence. And God help us to avoid that. Amen. And to move on in the realm where spirituality is going to affect everything, every area of our life. That's why we wanted to redefine workplace, because your influence is important. Now, it is important to make compartments in your life, and let me explain. You have to compartmentalize work to some degree. Don't bring it home with a bad attitude and a frustration, you know, and take it out on your wife. That's stupid. Easy to do, but don't do that. Don't take it out on your kids. You know, compartmentalize that. Leave it. Leave it there. And then be able to work with the spiritual aspect of your life. It needs to be everywhere, all the time, in every place. Praise God. I like the way Daniel left an example of leadership. A young man determined not to be defiled by the food offered to idols. And he and his companions, they stood firm. And the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. God brought favor to Daniel, just like he did to Joseph. And God can bring favor to you. And thank the Lord, there would be those results. 10 days of a different diet, and the comparison was made. And Daniel and the other Hebrews who were with him were fairer and fatter in flesh. Now, fatter is not considered to be healthy in our society, but we know what the King James language is trying to get across. And the New Living Translation says they were healthier and better nourished. How can that be? That must have really puzzled the man who was in charge of the education and the well-being of those young men as they were training and preparing to be of service to the Babylonian government. He must have wondered, how did that happen? But you can deny yourself and gain divine favor. And thank the Lord that God will uphold his word and uphold his promises. In fact, these young men, in matters of wisdom and understanding, were found to be 10 times better. And it was the king who made that assessment. It was the king who evaluated them. These guys are 10 times better than these other fellows. That's something, isn't it? Because of what the Lord was able to do. The wisdom, the counsel that they had. Now, that did not eliminate the tests and the trials, the temptations and the troubles. They're all going to come rolling along. It's not going to stop. But Daniel remained steadfast to his prayer life, regardless of what the king said in his decree, as far as any petitions of someone else or something else. He maintained his steadfastness, and he prayed in obedience to a higher relationship than the king's decree, the law of the Medes and Persians and so on, and whatever you might want to call it. He could not change the culture, but he didn't let the culture change him. Amen. And then the bottom, the bottom line, that's all you can change, really, is yourself. And that's all you'll be able to maintain. God help us to be able to maintain. Culture and society, as Brother Churchill pointed out, are going through some rapid changes right now. It's amazing. Athletes using foul language in their interviews, you know, you'd expect that probably that kind of talk goes on in the locker room. But here they are dropping F-bombs right in an interview on the radio or TV or whatever. Actors acting and talking ribald and risque, not even in a script, to a PG-13 or R or X or whatever they're doing. That's just the way they live, and that's the way they talk, and that's the way the media reports it. Just incredible. Politicians using foul language on media, social media, and even on the chamber floors, I think, talking like that. It's amazing. Look at Ephesians 4 and 29. We're talking about influence now. In Ephesians 4 and 29, that whole passage is really good to take a look at. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Your mouth. Can't use foul language. Can't say words that are not acceptable. No, your influence is what we're talking about here now. And your influence with the Lord. Look at verse 30. Verse 30 is a direct link. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So, the culture again is going to push on you, pressure you, and laugh at you, and persecute you. But we're not staying here. We're getting ready for another place. Praise God. And that's where we're going to go. Divine deliverance from a lion's den brought a powerful testimony, not only to Daniel and the king, but the whole kingdom, because then the king made another declaration. Daniel's God rescues and delivers, works signs and wonders, whose dominion shall never end. Praise God. And that's quite a decree. And Daniel received a promotion as well. And he actually ended up serving three rulers or three kings. They changed, but Daniel didn't. Amen. God help us to maintain that influence and hold on. Okay, so we lead to the Lord. We lead for the Lord. God has always used leaders. I'll just run through real quick here. Adam. Unfortunately, Adam followed Eve in eating the fruit when he should have led the way out of the temptation. He should have been there. But he did exert his leadership. He taught his sons how to sacrifice. He led them in worship. Noah led his family in building the ark, and then he led his family in building an altar after the water receded. Abraham led the way out of his home country, not knowing where he was going. That must have seemed pretty scary, pretty shaky. Usually you want to know where you're going. I think it was Yogi Berra that said, if you don't know where you're going, you may not know when you get there. So it's always good to know where you're going. Abraham didn't. By faith, he led his family into the place that God would give him, and he led himself into a greater blessing than he had ever imagined. Praise God. Moses tried to lead the people while in Egypt. We know that failed. And then God took him to a training ground, the backside of the desert, leading sheep. That got him ready to lead the people of God. And the Lord showed up with signs and wonders again and again to provide for their blessing and their traveling to that promised land. We can go on and on here. We're running out of time. Joshua, Gideon, Samuel, David, Solomon, the prophets, the writers, all many, many others. John led crowds to the Jordan River. Repentance, proof of repentance, a life of repentance, and baptism. Praise God. His ministry was short-lived, 6 months, something like that. He was Jesus' cousin. Remember when Mary went to see Elizabeth? She was 6 months along. So real short ministry. But he led his followers, those who aligned with his teaching, to recognize Jesus. And he said it twice, behold, the Lamb of God. Amen. He was pointing him out from prison. John sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus didn't answer directly. He went on healing the blind. He went on raising up the crippled. And then he turned to those messengers and said, go and tell John. Praise God. I'm so glad the Lord's got proof of who he is and what he can do with that influence. Now, talk about an unlikely evangelist. Who would you think in Scripture that would be the one who would never amount to anyone who could talk about the Lord? Very unlikely to be an evangelist. That woman at the well, the Samaritan. She learned that Jesus was a Jew, and then a prophet, and then the Messiah, and Christ, and the Savior of the world, all in one day. Praise God. The Lord can do a tremendous work. She went to the townspeople and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. I'm sure they were familiar with who she is, what she was, what her lifestyle was like. But yet her challenge was, is not this the Christ? And so they went. And they had the report. Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. See, that's our goal. That's our goal. We want to go, let others know, and bring them to an experience where they can say for themselves, yep, you're right. And I'm so glad you told me. Praise God. And thank the Lord that we can have that kind of influence. Now, the woman left her water pot at the well. She probably went back and picked it up eventually. But I think there were other things that she left behind. I think there were other changes in her life. Amen. Because the influence of the Lord is so strong. And God help us to be able to step into that realm of influence. Now, I'm going to take this out of context. Okay, turn to somebody and say, he's going to take this out of context. Isaiah 11 and 6. We know Isaiah 11 and 6 describes the millennial kingdom and perhaps prophetic of Jesus the Christ child. And the part I'm taking out of context, if you'll show the scripture, is a little child shall lead them. Our outreach for Sunday school. Now, teachers, don't let me give you a big head here, but let me brag on our teachers. We have got the most dynamic teachers and the most powerful Sunday school program of any church around. Amen. They just need some kids to teach. They need some kids to impart these truths to. And by a little child shall lead them, our outreach, we're reaching for families with children, but we can reach for that lone child as well. And that child can reach their parents, reach their family, because of changes that God can do in that life. We've seen kids get the Holy Ghost. Little ones get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And the blessings of the Lord be there so powerfully. So a child leading them? Oh, yes. I know it's out of context, but I want us to have the challenge of reaching the child who can lead their family to the Lord. Amen. Because that really does establish a strong, strong connection. Praise God, and God bless our teachers. Thank you so much for all of the preparation, all of the decoration, all of the presentation that you do with the Word of the Lord. The early church taught Scripture, and the Old Testament Scriptures was all they had. They were in the process of writing the New Testament, but when they talked about Scripture, it was Old Testament writers, the prophets, and the history that they knew about Israel. Stephen's presentation of the synopsis of Israel's history is incredible. He must have really paid attention when he went to synagogue which is actually kind of unique, because remember the situation that arose for these young men to be appointed, and they found six of them, and those were all Greek young men. They were all proselytes. And so he really did some study to present that history that he did. Now, he ended up dying at the end of it, but my point is they retained so much of what they heard, so much of what, because they didn't have a Bible like you. They didn't have a concordance. They didn't have a device. They didn't have any of that. All they had was their memory and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And he begins to share from what the Word of God said, and the history of Israel, David, and so on, you know, the good things of the Lord. So they met in synagogues, and they went from house to house, effectively using their influence with the Scriptures. And even though they were threatened and imprisoned and even beaten, remember, they went away from that place rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. God help us not to feel so bad when we're rejected, you know, and someone just walks away without even a comment or slams the door in your face. And no, they ceased not, Acts 5 and 42, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Influence. Leaders. Amen. Now, the Lord emphasized teaching, right? He emphasized the teaching in Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And that teaching was important. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. That teaching was commanded by the Lord. Mark 16 and 20, they went forth and preached everywhere. And praise God, the Lord was there, confirming the word with signs following. Now, the Lord's faithful to his word. Let every man be a liar, but the Lord is faithful to his word. I think he would have confirmed it anyway. But there were those who went forth in obedience to his command and taught and preached, and the Lord confirmed it. Praise God. That's what you can do. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Praise God. In Luke, the word of God was emphasized, because the Lord opened the understanding of the disciples, let them understand what was written about Messiah in Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. That was quite a Bible study. They went through quite a bit. John said, these are written that you might believe, and believing you have life through his name. Then he said, if all the things that were written down of the Lord's actions, the Lord's miracles, the Lord's healing, everything that the Lord did, if it was written down, the world couldn't contain the books. Praise God. So the emphasis on the word of the Lord. Now, Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. You ought to be teachers. And sometimes I read Hebrews 5, 12 and 14, and I feel a little condemned. I feel a little like I'm not measuring up. I'm not where I need to be. Milk versus meat. And how I need to be taught again, and so on. Milk means you're unskillful in the word of righteousness. Meat means you're mature. You know the difference of right and wrong. You can teach the difference of right and wrong. But I think when we read that, we need to accept it as a challenge. You ought to be teachers. Amen. Because you're skillful in the word. Let's see, the newest among us right now is Shelley. Shelley got baptized in December. Got the Holy Ghost in April. But I think Shelley can open the Bible to Acts 2, verse 38, and teach somebody the Word of God. She can. Amen. And that's the newest among us. And there are many of you who could do it with your eyes closed, standing on your head. Not really. That would be the wrong kind of influence. We want you to be presenting the Word of God, skillful in the Word. Not expert, didn't say expert, skillful in the Word, sure of your testimony, knowing the work of God that He's done, and you've seen it with your own eyes right here. People being healed of cancer, people being delivered, people being blessed. Oh my, needs being met. Praise God. The hand of the Lord being demonstrated in miracles. Go ahead and teach. You ought to be teachers. And that's what we want to be able to follow through on. Now, let's just talk about what works. Multi-lesson studies like Exploring God's Word. It's available on our website. I have charts available if you want to buy one. They're real cheap. They're only $10. Search for Truth, Light for Living. These chart studies are really good. There are shorter studies, like Brother Farmer's List of Scriptures, Into His Marvelous Light. And while I was cleaning my office, I found The Christ of Every Crisis. You know Chuck Welch? He was a campus evangelist back in the hippie days. I guess they're still around, retired ones in Homer. Anyway, Chuck Welch was a campus evangelist. That's what they called him. He went around to campuses talking to young people. And I worked with him for a few days in Idaho when we were on a missions team. And this is what he wrote. And it's a very simple, straightforward system that becomes a real direct, real simple Bible study. You're looking for heaven? And he gave me permission years ago when we were first putting a website up to put this on the website. I got his permission. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to UPS tomorrow and take this apart and make a whole bunch of these so that you could have some. Amen. And so it goes on, and as you can imagine, it gets into the recognition of, well, you can't see it. It's kind of small, but it does the new birth. And on. And it's real short. It's real simple. I saw him use it just in one session. And how the Word of God works so effectively. So there's lots of tools. There's lots of ways. Now, extended studies, like the Exploring God's Word, maybe that's more of a discipleship tool. I've used it for evangelism. But maybe it would be for discipleship. And here's another option. I have two DVD sets of my teaching, Exploring God's Word. Brother Cornwell's church in Wichita funded that and made it available. Thomas Ever gets through with his set, there will be a set available. And then I'll have another set available. Here's what happened. Brother Blackshear used that set of DVDs. They were VHS to start with, and then he recorded them on DVDs. And he taught a couple using my teaching. He'd put it on pause. They talk about it a little bit. He wanted to look up another scripture and pause it, because the scriptures will show up on the screen, don't they, Thomas? The scriptures are already there. You better nod your head yes and show me that you've been watching them. So, you put them on pause, you talk about it, and then push start and keep going. That couple came to the Bible study one day so excited. They were so thrilled. They were just wanting to tell Brother Blackshear, "We got baptized." Brother Blackshear, "Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you have a hunger for God, and so on, you know. So they went on with the Bible study. And they came to the part about teaching Jesus' name baptism. At the end of the study, the young man turned to Brother Blackshear and said, "We did it wrong, didn't we?" So those are available. And you could use them on your DVD player or however. But what works? That's what I want to... we're talking about influence now. We're talking about leading people to the Lord. What works? What type of study do you think is going to work for you? One of the short ones? And then you get into the longer one for exploring God's Word? But what do you need to get started? See, we've got to get started. Amen. I don't want to embarrass you by asking how many have not taught a Bible study. I know several of you have, and that's good. But we all need to. Amen. You can all read what's on this page. The Christ of every crisis. We're going through crisis now, aren't we? COVID is such a crisis. Everybody nodding their head. So, we're going to see what the Lord says. That's all it takes. And you would be able to do it. So, go is in the gospel. Art is in the start. I thought about these before service here. So, actually, go is in the gospel. That's been around a long time. But here's what the Lord said. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. What for? Influence. Leadership. Pointing to Him. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Can God do that with everybody? It's what you got the Holy Ghost for. Amen. The Holy Ghost gives us shivers and chills. We run around the church. We do a little dance. We clap our hands till they're almost bleeding. We're just excited about the things of the Lord. But God wants you to be a witness. God wants you to teach the word of the Lord, because that influence will help lead people to Him. Eternal results. Eternal. Praise God. And oh, the power of God, that's going to be real. Okay, NLT, Brother Levi, 1 Peter 3, 14 and 15. You know that this is the part that talks about if anybody asks a reason, you be ready. And it, the context is about persecution. It's talking about people hurting you, pressing you, mocking you. Don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Now, we know that's easier said than done. But the scripture is telling us, don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Praise God. And your influence then, your influence is what is going to make a difference here. Amen. And sometimes you have to beg the question. You want to know about hope? You not want to know about what is the paramount aspect of hope in a hopeless world that we're in right now? And amen. You'll have your opportunity to share the word of the Lord. Praise God. That's what God wants us to do. That's what we're called for. Amen. And oh, thank the Lord we can be used of Him, because He does confirm His word with signs following. He does. Praise God. I've never been interrupted, Brother Churchill, by someone receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm looking forward to that happening someday. It could have happened one time. The lady sitting in the back there turned to one of our sisters and said, "I think I'm receiving the Holy Ghost." And for some reason, the lady thought she said, "I'm making too much noise." And so she said, "No, you're not. Just sit there." The service went on. Altar was opened. She didn't even get past the first pew and burst out speaking in tongues. Praise God. Almost, Brother Churchill, I could have been interrupted. But Brother Bradbury tells about teaching Bible study, tells about teaching repentance, talking about the goodness of God, and all of a sudden, his student just burst out in tears and crying out to God and received the Holy Ghost right there in their living room. Praise God. The Lord confirms his word with signs following. Let's stand. Praise God. You can do it. You can do it. Praise God. No, I'm excited to hear the testimonies, to hear the reports of how the Lord used you. Amen. Now, there will be situations that are not going to turn out positive. There are going to be those who want to argue and debate and carry on, you know, and so on. And you'll just have to decide how much time you want to spend in that situation. I've had people try to paint me in a corner on oneness of God, Jesus' name, baptism, and so on. And I've tried to be real gentle and maybe not push the issue. But I think from now on, I'm just going to ask them the questions. Okay, you teach me. I need to know. Where does it say? Or what does it show? You know what I mean? Show me where someone is baptized with those titles and not the name. And so on, you know. You don't have to be mean about it, you know. Although, we know we can tear them up one side and down the other. We know we can tie them in knots with the scripture. But you become the student. Let them do the teaching. As far as answering your questions. Amen. And then, when they've stumbled around for a while, you open the scripture. Let's go to Acts 2:38. Let's go to Acts 8:12. Let's go to Acts 10:48. I had a lady one time who wanted me to show her the importance of the baptism in that way. So we were kind of walking through the scriptures, and she stopped and looked at me and said, "Are you a genius?" No, I just have read these a few times. And when she read them, baptism in Jesus' name was her choice. Praise God. And thank the Lord there would be those results that we're looking for. Can we come and pray and just ask the Lord to help us exert the influence that he wants us to have in this world? Yes, it's a dark world. Yes, the things seem to be going downhill. It seems like a big mess. But praise God, his church is not defeated. His church is not being dragged through the mud. His church is not going to lie dormant. Praise God. It's powerful. It's alive. It's pure. It's righteous. It's beautiful in his sight. That's who we are. Hallelujah. And we want to show the influence that he's put within us. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.